Welcome to the Roman Arena Podcast, created by the students of Roman Catholic High School in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Here, we discuss various issues and events, plus interview those of influence. It's all from the perspective of the Roman students. Now, sit back and enjoy the Roman Arena Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Roman Arena Podcast. I'm Matthew Barra from Roman's senior class, along with my co-host.
I'm Nick Conway. I'm a sophomore.
And today we have a very special guest who was just recently installed as our school's new president, Mr. Prendergast. Mr. Prendergast, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So I guess we'll just get right into it. On January 31st of this year, you were officially installed as our school's new president. How did that make you feel?
It was an incredibly surreal day. When I reflect back, I mean, it was incredibly special that I was able to have so many friends and family be there to celebrate that day with me. I had family come in from out of town. I had friends whom, many of whom are my friends going back from when I was a student here at Roman, who did not go to work that day or canceled their plans to be there to join in the celebration. It was very, very special in that respect. So, yes, it was a bizarre feeling, a surreal day, but obviously I'm really blessed and privileged to be in the position that I am now.
So before we get, you know, too much into your presidency, I want to talk a little bit about your time here as a student. So when you went to school here as a student, did you know that you wanted to be really as involved in Roman as you are as you got older, or did you kind of have other plans at that point, would you say?
Well, it's really hard to anticipate that, I think, at such a young age, right? When you come in into Roman as a freshman, you're 13, 14 years old, you don't know what you want to do when you grow up necessarily. A lot of people don't. You don't know where you want to go to college, if you want to go to college. So it's hard to even anticipate that I would have foreseen myself as eventually being president of Roman, yet alone as involved as I was, you know, with coaching mock trial and things of that nature, or being involved with the alumni. No, I didn't anticipate any of that. I think when I came in, it was just trying to be in the moment as a student, as a freshman, and really immerse myself into the Roman experience.
And, you know, since you were a student back then and now you're the president, is there like a lot of stuff different from then to now?
There's not a lot different about Roman. Certainly there's physical differences. So when I was a student, we really only had the one main building, the 1890 building with Renaissance Hall attached to it. In terms of the annex didn't open until 2006, I believe, which was about halfway through my high school experience. We certainly didn't have the Howard Center that we're in now. The Howard Center opened way after I graduated. We had two trailers in the parking lot that served as additional classroom spaces, and I believe at one point one of the trailers became the school store. So there's a lot of physical differences to our campus, you know, from 2004 to 2008 all the way up to now. But Roman is still very much the same in terms of the community, the similar faces. There's so many faculty and staff who were here back when I was a student that are still either teaching or are staff members or administrators in the building today, and certainly the brotherhood, right? The sense that Roman, when you go to Roman, you're part of a special fraternity, and I think you guys feel that. I felt that when I was a student. That hasn't changed at all, and I see that each and every day when I walk around and look at the students in the halls and in the classes.
So me personally, I tend to be a history guy. I'm curious if you had a favorite class when you went to Roman.
So it's funny that you mentioned being a history guy. I am a political science history major from LaSalle University. In fact, I thought I was going the law school route. So this, I know this is a digression, but I thought I was going the law school route. All of my closest friends are all attorneys. And I was the one guy who said, you know what, we have a five-year master's program in history at LaSalle. And so I stayed an extra year to get my master's degree with a focus in American history. But with respect to your question, you would think I'd go the history route. I'm going to cite two classes that really, just when I think back, you know, meant a lot to me. One was my freshman English class with Mr. Pensabene, who's not far from here now. But Mr. Penn's class was obviously when I think back, there's a reason why today, for some reason, I could probably cite the first quarter of the Raven. It's because he had such a way of teaching the material that brought the students and immersed them into the content with his energy and vivaciousness. That class really stuck with me, and there's a lot of poems and pieces of literature that have meant a lot to me over the years and that I go back and cite and quote and think about really because of his class. The other class that comes to mind was in my senior year, I took AP Psychology with Vince Tarducci, who was the previous principal here at Roman before Mr. Curry. And Vince was a young teacher at the time who was right out of school, but really smart, really bright, very relatable to the students. And he immersed us into psychology in a very easy to understand way. I think there was a reason why there was maybe 22 or 23 of us in the class. And I believe 19 of us got fives on the AP exam. And I think there was obviously a huge testament to the way that Vince taught that class. So those are the two that come to mind.
Now, one of the biggest things here at Roman is getting involved. So did you do any kind of extracurriculars outside of the classroom?
Yes, I was quite involved. When I came into Roman, I was really pumped to learn that there was a mock trial team. So as I said before, I thought I was going the law school route. I thought I was going to grow up and be an attorney. And so when I saw that there was a mock trial team with this idea of trial simulation, learning, you know, criminal law, civil law, getting to act as attorneys, witnesses, that was really appealing to me. So I did mock trial all 4 years during my time here at Roman. In fact, my classmate, one of my best friends, Steve Patton, who's the head coach of the program today, he and I can't tell you how many times we sat in his basement or at my house just prepping mock trial over the weekends. You know, we had fellow teammates, Carlton Wilkes, Sean O'Connor, so many come to mind who were a part of our class that did mock trial. Mock trial was a big part of my life at Roman. I was on the golf team for 3 years. Guys like Andrew Jaskel, Brian McBeth, Pat Brownsey, Steve Purcell, Kenny Hobbs, Seamus O'Brien, the guys who I played with on the team who I still talk to and communicate with to this day. In fact, my buddy Andrew Jaskel, I just cited, he's being inducted into Roman Sports Hall of Fame this week. So I'm really excited about that. I was a part of the Ambassadors Program, Big Brothers, NHS, Assist, was a Kairos leader, did Kairos twice, and I was co-editor-in-chief of the yearbook my senior year.
So it seems like you were involved in an awful lot of stuff, so it might be hard to pick out a single memory, but do you have like a single kind of best memory during your time here as a student?
Sure, I'll zero in on a few here. So, thinking about mock trial, obviously it's still done to this day, the Pittsburgh trips, right? So when I was a student at Roman, mock trial was much smaller than it is now. That definitely probably more than half the size, bigger nowadays than it was when I was a student. In fact, we were so small that we would take flights to Pittsburgh in those opening 1 or 2 years. Now, obviously, the students bus out to Pittsburgh. Those trips were incredibly memorable. In fact, we won the Pittsburgh Invitational my senior year in mock trial. So that was really exciting. That was a great memory. The golf team, we won the Southern Division my senior year, took down a very talented St. Joe's prep team. So just being a part of the golf program those 3 years, Coach Dan Hoban, absolute a treasure and a big Roman supporter. Obviously, it was a key part of our success. And again, I'm still in touch with a lot of those guys. And then the yearbook, being co-editor-in-chief with Steve Patton, one of my buddies, and Ken Horner, we were kind of the three that were charged with getting the yearbook together. And we worked very closely with Vince Tarducci, who was moderator of the yearbook at the time. And we just had so many good long nights just working on the yearbook and a lot of laughs, a lot of weekends. But we had a really good product that we were proud of when it was all said and done.
Now, let's talk about some of your work at Roman. Before you were elected as the first lay president, what kind of work did you do at Roman?
So prior to becoming president, I came back to Roman actually as the first time in a full-time capacity in October 2022 as the executive director of advancement.
And what were some of your duties as the executive director of advancement here?
So when coming back to oversee the advancement office, basically that position serves as the chief development officer for the institution. So think all things fundraising, development, alumni relations, annual giving appeals, major gifts, planned gifts. So planned gifts are when you work with donors to hopefully allocate some of the funds that are a part of their estate. They might give on to charity when they pass away. So obviously that's a big part of our fundraising program. Working on EITC, OSTC, those are two of the tax credit programs in Pennsylvania. A lot of people in Pennsylvania with Pennsylvania tax liabilities might not realize that they can actually redirect that tax liability to organizations like Roman in the form of financial aid, instead of sending those tax funds that they would otherwise have to pay to Harrisburg. So that's a big part of that position. Events, there's so many things that go into overseeing the advancement office, but it's basically the chief development officer position with a key focus on external relations.
And I also happen to know that you were involved in the mock trial team here. You used to coach it. What was it like going from competing to coaching?
It was a ton of fun. So I got involved with coaching mock trial immediately after I graduated high school. So I became a mock trial coach as a freshman in college when I was, again, I went from Roman to LaSalle University. I was living at LaSalle. Steve Patton and I became coaches together, and we jumped in right away. It was a ton of fun. Again, it gave me an opportunity to hang out with people who were my friends, who enjoyed doing mock trial together. Over time, again, I think I coached for upwards of 12 or 13 years. The exact amount of time is escaping me, but it was a long time. And for much of those years, I got to coach with my brother, Pat, who's a 2013 alumnus here from Roman. So that was also very special that, you know, my brother and I could coach together. We had the B team for a number of years and saw a lot of success and had managed a lot of different personalities on those teams, but guys who are really, really good guys and went off to do really good things. And again, just to see our students come in as maybe shy and timid as freshmen, and then you get them to senior year and you see the elevation and the personalities and how that's changed. It was always really special to see. And I can't say enough good things about my time coaching mock trial here.
So obviously a few months ago, you were installed as our new president here at Roman. What would you say are some of your major aspirations for kind of the future of Roman? What guides kind of your decision making when it comes to your time as president?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Matt. I mean, the one thing I'd say is it's probably a little too early to lay it all out there, but I'll highlight a couple themes that I'm certainly thinking about. One of the things that I've stressed so far is that I'd love to really see a culture of excellence develop across our entire school body. And what I mean by that is, when you think of excellence, right, think about you being excellent in your preparation, excellent in teaching, excellent in learning, excellent in how you dress. First impressions matter, and I think that, you know, the way we carry ourselves is important. So if you strive to be excellent and hold yourself to the power of that standard, we can really do some remarkable things. But what I've also been stressing as well is that while we'll have a culture of excellence, we'll also have a culture of enjoyment. We're going to work hard, work smart, but we're going to have a heck of a lot of fun while we do it. So I want, you know, not only our students and faculty and staff to come in every day ready to work, but have a lot of fun while we do it. Enjoy what we do. Enjoy school. Enjoy the activities. Enjoy the sports, because it's all very important. So certainly establishing that culture is one of my immediate aspirations. And we've already, I think, have done a lot in that respect. Certainly, I want to see us increase our enrollment, right? We're in a market in which the demographic has been shrinking for quite some time, and that means that there's fewer and fewer students from which to choose, and the competition out there is incredibly fierce. So increasing our enrollment through expanded academic programs that prepare for college majors of the future, but at the same time, not leaving out students who graduate and wish to go into the workforce immediately, or those students who maybe want to enter the armed services. So we want to make sure that there's pathways here for all of our guys, and we're certainly looking at each and every opportunity to partner strategically with organizations, with colleges, universities, and all sorts of folks across the board.
So far in your time as president, what kind of challenges have you faced?
Well, I'm only 3 months in here, Nick. I mean, isn't being the new guy challenge enough? No. So I think if what I can say about seeing challenges so far, it's more of a personal challenge. I think anytime you jump into a senior leadership role, you know, whether it's president of a high school or leading a major corporation or just managing a team, I think that obviously if you're like myself and you're eager and have an appetite to get things done, you have to kind of remind yourself that Rome wasn't built in a day. You have to take things one day at a time. So if either of you guys have taken a test before, right, and you see the question to the test and you know right away, oh gosh, I know this answer like the back of my hand. I'm going to absolutely crush this answer. Have you guys ever felt that way before?
Yes, definitely.
Right?
Absolutely.
I certainly have as well. I mean, I recall in school all the time. And so what do you have to do in that moment? You have to, the bells are going off, right? You're seeing hundreds, you're seeing A's, but you have to sort of pace yourself and say, okay, let me take a deep breath. We're going to get through this. I'm going to put down a really good answer. And it's sort of like that way with leadership and managing a school. There's so many ideas, there's so many things to do. My calendar is really packed every day, but you just have to take it 1 hour, one day at a time, and know that it will all get done in due time.
So you mentioned you were only president for 3 months at this point. So what are some of those, because it's clear you've been very involved, what are some of those actions you've begun to take, maybe any implementations you've begun to make during your time as president here?
That's a good question, Matt. So one of the first things that I realized in just sort of evaluating our institution was that my position in particular had a large amount of direct reports. So in order to accomplish the goals that I have, certainly from an external relations standpoint and keeping that focus on fundraising, I knew that to achieve those goals, we would have to have more layers in place, more support, more managers. So we underwent a reorganization. And so what I did was I now have four direct reports reporting directly to me, one of which is Dan Joyce, who's vice president of mission advancement. So he took over my previous role with the expanded responsibilities of now having admissions fall under his umbrella. So admissions and communications now reports up through Dan in addition to development. We've got, of course, Mr. John Curry, who is our principal, all the assistant principals, and Mr. Shields all report up through Mr. Curry. We have Miss Annie Trost, who's our chief of staff. So Annie now oversees the facilities team and financial aid and the school store and a lot of the, you know, working with vendors and whatnot behind the scenes, things she's been doing for a really long time. And then Miss Chris Kenny, who's our director of accounting and financial analysis, oversees the budget and all things accounting at the school. So with doing that, we've put more layers of support in place so that fewer things fall between the cracks. So it allows me a little more time to do what I have to do from an external relations standpoint in advocating for the school, while at the same time having the confidence in such a great team to, you know, execute what's going on behind the scenes and during the day-to-day. So the reorganization was certainly a big thing. We launched a presidential initiative to bring university presidents to meet their admitted students at Roman, which, you know, brings about the benefit of extra time for those folks in talking with their students ahead of those students making ultimately their college decision. But also it begins a relationship with us between those university presidents and colleges so that our guys can remain in demand. Because, I want to make sure we position you guys and all of our students here for the best possible opportunities, not only, you know, in college, but beyond that. So that requires building relationships, obviously. So those are just a couple of the immediate things that we took action on when I became president right away.
Right now, as we approach the graduation of the class of 2024 and we start to close out the year, what are some of your top priorities?
Yeah, so one of the things, actually, it kind of jumps back to the last answer a little bit, but you might have seen that we recently rolled out a busing plan to provide busing routes to both the Northeast Philadelphia corridor and South Philly corridor to provide another level of access of transportation for students and families who might not feel as comfortable working with SEPTA or navigating SEPTA. Obviously, I'm a big public transportation proponent. I took the regional rail train from Fox Chase every day, and I think that that's really part of the Roman experience. It teaches life skills and builds street smarts that you otherwise would not learn in a classroom. So again, I'm always going to be a big proponent of taking public transportation, but for those families that either it logistically doesn't make sense or there's other concerns in place, we feel that this busing initiative is really a big step toward mitigating some of those concerns. So that's certainly, getting that off the ground is certainly a top priority. We have a top priority with our Vision of Promise campaign to expand our academic offerings in the STEM arena. So there's some things that we're working with the board on that front. I would love to see our endowment grow. So we have a scholarship endowment here at Roman, and obviously, you know, recognizing that many of our families have to sacrifice so much to send their young men to Roman, scholarships remain an absolute priority for me, even as president. So those are a couple of the things that we've got cooking, and I'm really excited about it, like I said, and we've got a good team in place to help me in my capacity as president get this thing off and running.
What would you say is your biggest accomplishment, or at least the accomplishment that you're most proud of during your time as president here?
So I have two, they're going to be fundraising examples just because of the significance of each of these. So one was, I was able to secure a $1 million Vision of Promise campaign gift through the generosity of Joe DiCepio, who's a class of 1954 alumnus. And, that's going to focus on, obviously, our Vision of Promise campaign, and we're just really blessed by Joe's generosity in making that happen. The other was a recent one that we just promoted last month, which was a $525,000 EITC gift through the generosity of Dom Colasante, who's class of 2006 from here at Roman. He's the CEO of 2X Marketing. And really, you know, each of these gifts, obviously different purposes, one more capital focus, the other, you know, financial aid through the EITC program. Each of them, I would say, are significant accomplishments at this point in time. And obviously fundraising, like I said, is going to remain a critical priority of mine as president. And we've got a few more, hopeful gifts in the pipeline that we're working on, but For everyone out there listening, including alumni, donors, friends, parents, families, just everything that we do here is for our young men, and scholarship support and fundraising and giving to Roman, all of that helps fuel our ability to provide our guys here with a accessible and high-quality Catholic education. So, yeah, I'm really proud of those two gifts and hopefully have many more to celebrate in the weeks and months to come.
You know, from your time at Roman to being a coach to now the president, you've had a lot of leadership roles. So what advice would you give to students or really anybody who aspires to gain a leadership role?
You don't have to do it alone. That's really one of the things, nor do I think is it desirable to do it alone. You know, there's life, work, there's a lot of challenges out there as it is. And so for me, I've always strived to surround myself with great people. You know, for me, that started, I'm blessed with a great support structure at home. And, you know, my mom and dad were very supportive of me growing up and providing me with opportunities that maybe, you know, others weren't able to have. We didn't have a lot of money growing up, but my parents were blue-collar people, worked hard and made a lot of sacrifices to ensure that my brother and I had every opportunity to succeed. My brother, Pat, who, you know, I said I coached mock trial with, he's my younger brother by 4.5 years, but someone I look up to immensely and someone whose counsel I deeply value and respect. My wife, Stephanie, who's my absolute rock in life. You know, I come home every day. She's so smart, so brilliant, way more than she gives herself credit for, but someone who keeps me grounded and allows me to, you know, bounce ideas off of her on a daily basis and make sure I'm thinking through things cleanly and clearly. So having that structure in place, you know, for those who maybe don't have those structures, there's a ton of other role models out there, right? I think to my friend group, you know, my friends are so just smart, brilliant, way more talented than me in almost every possible respect. And, you know, it's funny, Mr. Penn over here, he used to say all the time, right? If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. And I can easily say I am never in the wrong room. I'm surrounded by brilliant people all the time. Many of my friends who I met at Roman, just really smart. They've all gone and done wonderful things. Like I said, a lot of them are attorneys, people who work in healthcare, work in industry. It's I'm surrounded by people who have different life experiences and perspectives, and that allows me to kind of think about things from different avenues. I'm just really grateful for all of that. And certainly at work, right? I, like I said, with this whole reorganization, it was done because we've got an excellent leadership team here, a team that I have all the confidence in the world in, and we're going to do really good things together. And like I said, it's we've got a lot to do, but these are people that I trust and can rely on because they're smart, they're experienced, and they're people whose counsel, you know, not only just the leadership team, but across the entire faculty and staff, people whose counsel I deeply value and respect. And, you know, I think the final thing that I would mention is to, you know, keep in mind when you're striving for leadership roles, it's important to be humble and kind, right? That's easy to overlook sometimes. I think you see on the news sometimes with various personalities that you have to be brash and mean and bold and, you know, to have that, you know, way of life to be a successful leader. I don't think that's true at all. I think that you can learn a lot from leaders who have been humble and kind over the years. I think, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. So I've always tried to push myself to recognize that I've been fortunate in life. I have to give back. I have to pay it forward. And you have to be generous with your time, right? I think there's that famous quote by Maya Angelou who always used to say that, you know, people won't remember, you know, what you did or what you said, but they will remember how you made them feel. And so I want to strive every day to make sure that I'm being my best version of myself for, you know, not only my family, but the Roman community at large. That's the sort of leader you're going to get each and every day with me as president. And like I said, we're going to do great work, but we're going to have a lot of fun while we do it.
Oh, well, thank you very much for coming on to answer some questions. We really appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Happy to be on the pod.
And thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Roman Arena Podcast, and we hope to see you next time. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Roman Arena Podcast, produced by the students of Roman Catholic High School in Philadelphia, the oldest diocesan high school in the United States. Be sure to subscribe to get new, fresh episodes and follow on social media for more. Thanks for listening to this episode. We'll see you next time on the Roman Arena Podcast.